Morning. How's everybody this morning? You all made it here safe. That's really good. I thought I was going to have to make a phone call to the North Pole and borrow Rudolph this morning. Maybe you all had the same idea, but I'm so glad that you're here. Are you glad that you're here?
Yeah.
Great. And if you are a guest with us this morning, we're so grateful for the fact that you've chosen to be with us. And hopefully when you came in, you received a welcome packet. Inside that welcome packet is a little card. If you just take a moment, fill that out, drop it in the offering plate, or just leave it on the information table out on the in the foyer, that would be such a big help to us. And hopefully when you came in, along with everybody else, you received a bulletin. So if you have a bulletin, let's take it out and let's kind of go over some of the information. This morning, right after our morning worship service, we are having Sunday school. This will be the last Sunday school until after the first of the year. So if you've been wanting to come to Sunday school, but you've been putting it off, today would be a good day for you to be here, and then you could take a little break and then join back up with us in January. Thursday night is Awana at 6:25, and we have Ugly Christmas Sweater Night. That'll be interesting, won't it? Okay, all right, so Awana leaders, make sure that your glasses and your eyes are in focus, because who knows what you're going to see. Ladies, on Saturday, 1:30 p.m., you have a Christmas party here at the church, and this is open up to all of the ladies. If you are a guest with us and you're a lady and you want to come and join in the festivities for the ladies' Christmas party, you are more than welcome to, and we are so happy that they're going to be able to do something like this. There's details in the bulletin. If you have any questions, see Becky or Tammy or one of the ladies, and they'll be able to maybe answer those questions for you. Then next Sunday is our annual Christmas breakfast, and there's a sign-up sheet out on the information table for you to help bring some things to help complement the meal. Eggs are going to be provided. French toast is going to be provided. Beverage is going to be provided. But we need help bringing things to help complement the rest of the meal. And remember, you are bringing things to be able to share with those that are going to be there as well. Then we'll have our worship service after breakfast. Then right after our morning worship service next week, we are going to be doing our annual church family meeting. And one of the purposes of this is for you to be able to affirm for us as church leadership the 2025 church budget. That sounds amazing, doesn't it? But it's in place. It's been ratified by our church leaders. We just need you to be able to help affirm it for us. And so we urge all of you to be able to attend. There's a lot of other things in the bulletin for you to be able to know. So I don't know how many of you realize, but we have somebody really way up there today in our congregation. We have a recent college graduate. And this college graduate didn't just kind of skim over and skim under the radar. This person graduated summa cum laude. Whoa, right? Brianna, stand up. Yay. Okay. All right. So let's see if I get this right. She graduated with a master's, a bachelor's. Okay, a bachelor's in IT. And so we are so happy for her, right? So let's give her another round of applause. And then we need to be praying for Jacob Harris and his family. Jacob's grandpa a couple weeks ago went home to be with the Lord. And so we just need to keep that family in prayer, and you'll be doing that, won't you, as they go through this time of loss as a family. So we just need to be able to do that. All right, are you thanking God today? Yep. Do you have a lot to be thankful for? Boy, this is a great time of season for us to be thankful for all that God does for us, for all that God is. And we're going to see that as we get into our message part of our service this morning. But first and foremost, we need to thank God that he sent us a Savior to be able to take care of the issue of sin that has been passed down from generation to generation. Aren't you happy for that this morning? Well, I hope it's reflected by the way that you worship. All right, let's go.
Would you all stand with me as we begin?
What hope we hold this silent night?
was born in Bethlehem. Our journey long, we seek the light, and that leads to the hallowed manger ground. What fear we felt in the silent age, 400 years can he be found, but broken by a baby's cry, rejoice in the hallowed manger ground. Emmanuel, Emmanuel, God incarnate, here to dwell. Emmanuel. Son of God, here born to bleed, a crown of thorns would pierce his brow, and we beheld this offering, exalted now, the King of Kings. Praise God for the hallowed manger ground. Amen. Go ahead and be seated as we continue this morning. Would you pray with me? Father God, thank you so much. Thank you so much for sending Jesus the Son. Lord, thank you. God, as we sing these songs today, Lord, help us to respond with adoration, with thanksgiving. Lord, we love you. We're so thankful for Jesus. In his name, amen.
O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. Above thy deep and dreamless sleep, the silent stars go by. Yet in thy dark streets shineth the everlasting light. The hopes and fears of all the years are met in thee tonight. For Christ is born of Mary and gathered all above. While mortals sleep, the angels keep their watch of wandering love. O morning stars, together proclaim the holy birth, and praises sing to God the King, and peace to men on earth. How silently the wondrous gift is given. So God imparts to human hearts the blessings of his heaven. No ear may hear his coming, but in this world of sin, where meek souls will receive him still. The dear Christ enters in. O holy child of Bethlehem, descend to us, we pray. Cast out our sin and enter in. Be born in us today. We hear the Christmas angels, the great glad tidings tell. Oh, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. Oh, come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appear. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou day spring, come and cheer our spirits by thine advent here. Disperse the gloomy clouds of night and death's dark shadows put to flight. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, thou wisdom from on high, and order all things far and nigh. To us the path of knowledge show, and cause us in our ways to go. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, desire of nations mind, all peoples in one heart and mind, bid envy, strife, and quarrel cease. Fill the whole world with heaven's peace. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. It's not just about the manger where the baby lay. It's not all about the angels who sang for him that day. It's not all about the shepherds or the bright and shining star. It's not all about the wise men who traveled from afar. It's about the cross. about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's not just about the good things in this life I've done. It's not all about the treasures or the trophies that I've won. It's not about the righteousness that I find within. It's all about His precious blood that saved me from my sin. It's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. The beginning of the story is wonderful and great, but it's the ending that can save you, and that's why we celebrate. Oh, it's about the cross. It's about my sin. It's about how Jesus came to be born once so that we could be born again. It's about God's Son nailed to a tree. It's about how every drop of blood that flowed from Him when it should have been me. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. So that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the cross. It's about the cross. It's about the cross.
Thank you, Jesus, for that cross. Thank you, Lord, that when you came to Bethlehem, there was a promise that was being fulfilled of reconciliation. Lord, thank you. Thank you for being willing on our behalf for the cross. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. As our ushers prepare to take this morning's offering, please be reminded when you give, give because you want to honor God, not because the church is passing a plate in front of you.
Do you find it hard to sleep tonight, resting by the Christmas lights? Could there be something you forgot? Rainbows and mistletoe, the tree with presents wrapped below. There's more to this than you had ever thought. Have we lost the reason that we celebrate each year? What is Christmas if there never was a Savior wrapped in a manger? What is Christmas without Christ? Remember how the story goes. God's gift was wrapped in swaddling clothes beneath the star one great and holy night. Shepherds heard the angels sing, the wise men brought an offering. Peace on earth began in Bethlehem. Have we lost the reason that we celebrate each year? What is Christmas if there never was a Savior wrapped in a manger?
white as Christmas. If the angels never sang glory to the newborn King, white as Christmas. Without Christ, there'd be no Gloria in excelsis Deo. Gloria in excelsis Deo. What is Christmas if there never was a Savior wrapped in a manger? What is Christmas without Christ? This is Christmas. It's all about a Savior wrapped in a manger. This is Christmas because of Jesus Christ. This is Christmas because of Christ, because of Christ.
Let's never lose sight that without Christ, there's really no Christmas. Oh, there might be a holiday. Oh, there might be fancy things and bright and shiny things. But without Jesus, it's not Christmas. It's just a holiday, just a celebration. In fact, can I clue you in on something for just a moment? In the book of Revelation, during the tribulation, the seven-year great tribulation, there's a time when the people who are here on earth who have been going through God's judgments, there's a period of time where they have a celebration. They have a holiday. They're excited. They're ecstatic. They're so grateful that they're giving presents to one another. But it's not because of Jesus. It's because two witnesses that God sent here to earth to be able to tell the whole world about Jesus and what he did on the cross were put to death. And their bodies were lying in the streets, and their bodies lied in the street for 3.5 days. And then God raised them back up and took them immediately to heaven. But while those bodies were laying in the streets, guess what they were doing? Having a holiday, giving gifts to one another. So you know, without Jesus, without Christ, it's not really Christmas. It's just a holiday. It's just a celebration. I'm so thankful that for us, we understand that Christmas is all about Christ. It's not about all of this. As cool as it is, it's about him. Amen? Amen. And I know you guys get that. All right, kids, come on down. We'll get you ready for children's church. And did you see how quick they shot out of their chairs? All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for reminding us this morning that without Christ, without Jesus, this is just a holiday. This is just a celebration. But the true meaning of Christmas is that you sent Jesus to this earth. Yes, he was born in Bethlehem. Yes, he came in flesh. Yes, he grew to be a man. Yes, He spoke great things, but the greatest reason why he came was so that he could go to the cross to be our Savior. Father, Christmas is all about celebrating the fact that you didn't leave us in the darkness of our sin, but you sent to us a Savior. And Father, I pray that now our hearts and our minds and our ears will be open to be able to hear what you have for us. And Father, I pray that we will learn more about you. And then, Father, I pray that when we leave this place, we will take what we've learned so that we can put it into practice into our lives with us. And maybe you'll use us to be able to help someone else this Christmas season to be able to truly understand really what Christmas is all about. So, Father, we're just going to turn the rest of our time over to you as we listen to your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, go and have a good time. Turn with me, if you will, to John chapter 1. We started a series of messages last week for the Christmas season and all of our messages for this Christmas season are going to be centered around John chapter 1. So let me ask you a question. How many of you have Christmas lights on your house or in your yard? Okay. All right. Anyone have more than 25,000? You know that, what? Why? Why are you asking that question, right? Well, because Clark Griswold put up 25,000 lights during Christmas vacation. You remember that? How many of you seen that movie? Yeah, okay. I haven't ever seen the movie. All right, I just found this in my research for the sermon today. But Clark was determined to win the Christmas light competition by having more lights than any of his neighbors. You could land airplanes by the amount of lights that were on his house. And you know, this type of year, this type of season is filled with lights. And one of the reasons for that is because those who are Jewish will begin their 8-day celebration of light called Hanukkah, starting on Christmas evening until the evening of January 2nd. Now, what is Hanukkah? Hanukkah is a reminder of how God did a miracle by providing enough oil for 8 days over 2,000 years ago. This action of God came after he preserved Israel from extinction by giving the Maccabees victory over a hostile enemy and allowed the Jews to rededicate their temple, which had been desecrated by the Greeks. It's one of the reasons why lights and Christmas go together. And I love how Christy and Andrea decorated our church with the light displays. Don't you? Isn't it beautiful? It is. It's really good. So as we continue our Christmas series from the opening verses from the book of John, we're going to see today that Jesus is both life and light. Last week we saw that he's the eternal word. Today we're going to see that he's eternal life and eternal light. So hopefully by now you found John chapter 1. So follow along as I read verses 4 through 9. In him, who's the him? Jesus. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. The true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Now, it's interesting because the word life is used twice and the word light appears 7 times in 6 verses. Obviously, John is building a connection, and he's building a connection to the book of Genesis, just like he did in John chapter 1, verse 1, when he said, in the beginning was the Word. Now, when we go back to Genesis chapter 1, the first part of the narrative is about the creation of life. And in verses 3 and 4, we see especially how light was created first. It tells us in Genesis chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, and God said, let there be light. God said, let there be light, and what happened? There was light, right? And God saw that the light was good, and God separated the light from what? The darkness. Now, if you read this in the Hebrew, there's another way to be able to say this. If you read it in the Hebrew, it says, and God said, be light. And there was light. Wow. Isn't that good? Isn't that amazing? The creator of the universe spoke, and there was light. And the light was separated from the darkness. You know what this tells us as we hold it up to these verses in John chapter 1? It tells us that Jesus is both life and light. Because as we looked at last week, Jesus is the creator. There wasn't anything that was made unless it was made by him. Nothing was made except what was made by him. Who's the him? Jesus. So Jesus is both the life and the light. And because of that, there's some things that we need to know. There's some things that we need to take in with our brains and move it from our brains into our hearts so that it makes a difference in the way that we live. One of the first things is that the giver of eternal life brings light. Look at verse 4. In him was life. In him was life. I'm just going to stop there for a moment. Especially this time of year, there's a whole lot of things that the world says you need in order to be able to have life. You know, that's what commercials are all about. these people that produce these products, making you think that you don't have life. You're not living unless you use their product, unless you have their stuff, unless you eat at their restaurants, unless you do this, unless you do that, unless you drive their cars. You really don't have life. Oh, you might have existence, but unless you're using the right kind of shampoo and the right kind of deodorant and the right kind of, you get the idea, right? Right? You drink the right kind of soda, right? By the way, Coca-Cola is the only one. Coke Zero, it's the only one. Okay. If you're Pepsi people, I pray for you. But you see what I mean? Right? Right? If we're not drinking, if we're not eating, if we're not wearing, if we're not smelling the right way, we just don't have life. But you know what? Life doesn't come in all of that stuff. Life comes because the giver of eternal life brings to us life and light. In him was life. Without him, just existence. And I'm going to bring that out in just a little bit. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Now, it's interesting that John chose the Greek word zoe, which refers to real life, which is different from bios, which speaks of natural life. You've heard of the word biography, right? You've heard of the word biology. That all speaks of natural life. But John uses the Greek word zoe here, which refers to real life. So what's John want us to understand? That real life doesn't come from anything classified as bios, but it comes from he who is zoe, the real life. Oh, I love that. I just think that's so good. And John used the word life 36 times in this Gospel of John. You think he wants us to understand something? Remember, if God's word says it once, it's important. If God's word says it over and over again, it is really important. And the second time here that he uses the word life, he uses the definitive article, the, to show Jesus is the true life. And this coincides with what Jesus said when he was here on earth, and it's recorded for us in John chapter 11 and verse 25, where Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the, what's the word? Very good, class. Whoever believes in me, though he die, yet shall he, what? Live. So life only comes, true life only comes by what? Believing in Jesus. It doesn't come by using the right products. It doesn't come by what this world says brings us life. What does it say? Whoever believes, Jesus said, in me, though he die, yet shall he live. You see, when we were born, we received physical life. But as we sang about this morning, when we are born again, we receive spiritual life. And that spiritual life that we have comes from Jesus. And when Jesus gives you real life, guess what? The light comes on for you. Psalm 27 verse 1 says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? You know, at Jesus' transfiguration, Peter, James, and John caught a glimpse of the true light as Jesus' face shone like the sun and his clothes became as white as the light. In Revelation chapter 1 and verse 16, John, this very same John who writes the Gospel of John here, John describes Jesus' face like the sun shining in full strength. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 16, again, John describes Jesus as the bright and morning star. What is all of this telling us? Folks, it's telling us that Jesus is both life and light. Here's the second thing we need to know, that the light reveals the darkness. Look at verse 5. The light shines in darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You notice something about this word shines? It's in the present tense, which means it continually shines and never ceases. The light of Jesus continually shines and never ceases. You know what this tells me? That even after Christmas is over, After all of the lights have been taken down and all of the lights have been put away, Jesus still shines. Jesus still shines. And hopefully, he shines in you and through you. Now, why is that important for us? It's important for us because we need to understand that spiritual darkness spilled into our world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and rebelled against his word. And that spiritual darkness can only be taken away by Jesus. Let me say that again. That spiritual darkness can only be taken away by Jesus, who is the life and the light. And John here doesn't say that it just gets taken away. Jesus said that the darkness is overcome. And this word overcome means to lay hold of, to seize, or to grasp. It's a wrestling term to describe getting pinned. So what John is telling us is that it's impossible for darkness to pin the light to the mat. Whoa. Whoa. So the darkness, no matter how dark it is, cannot pin Jesus to the mat. Cannot keep him from shining. Will not ever keep him from shining. It's impossible for darkness to pin the light, capital L, to the mat. Now, darkness, by its very nature, will not come into the light, because darkness and light do not coexist. You ever walked into a dark room? You ever flip on the light switch? Where's the darkness go? It's gone. Isn't that cool? You don't have to be in the dark anymore, right? Unless you didn't pay the power bill, then that's a whole different issue. But if you have one, you cannot have the other. If you have darkness, you cannot have light. And if you have light, you can't have darkness. And those in spiritual darkness cannot understand that Jesus is both life and light. Now remember this, darkness cannot do anything to bring light. And you can't add more darkness to a room. So without light, darkness simply takes over. But in the presence of light, darkness goes away. This is good news. That when we believe in Jesus as Savior, we will not remain in that spiritual darkness. When we believe in Jesus as Savior, we will not remain in that spiritual darkness. Jesus said, and it's recorded for us in John chapter 12 and verse 46, Jesus said, I've come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain where? In darkness. When we believe in Jesus as Savior, we've come to the light. And therefore, because the light has come to us, because we believe in him and what he did for us on the cross, it's about the cross. The darkness goes away. We don't have to live in darkness any longer. While on maneuvers, the captain of a battleship noticed the light in the dark, foggy night and realized he was going to crash into another vessel. The captain instructed the source of light, "We are on a collision course. I advise you change course 20 degrees. The return signal countered, "Advisable for you to change your course 20 degrees. The captain signaled back, "I'm a captain. Change your course 20 degrees. The response came back, "I'm a seaman second class. You'd better change your course 20 degrees. By this time, the captain was furious and demanded, "I'm a battleship. Change your course 20 degrees. The reply came back, "I'm a lighthouse. You make the call." You see, apart from Jesus, we are like a ship lost on the open sea in a dense fog, searching for the eternal shore, waiting for someone to dispel the darkness with God's light of salvation. Jesus, as he went to that cross for us, provided the light in the darkness of our sinful world so that we can be rescued from eternal torment and punishment. You understand that those who do not believe in Jesus as Savior, when they die, they go to a place of eternal punishment and torment. And I don't think there's a whole lot of light there. It's definitely not where the light of Jesus is. So I have a couple questions for you this morning. Are you walking in the light of Jesus as Savior today? Or are you still in the darkness? Do you need to change your course? And you can make that happen today. Believe in Jesus as Savior. Now, you might be here and you might be saying, so, Pastor, does that mean that at the close of the service I have to walk in out? Nope. Does that mean I have to go in your office and or go with another spiritual leader here at Lake Hazel Bible Church and say a prayer? Nope. Does that mean I have to take a class for the next 6 weeks? Nope. Does that mean I have to give so much money to the church? Nope. Does that mean I have to do this or that? I have to be baptized? Nope. I have to take communion? Nope. Does that mean I have to join the church? Nope. That means you believe in Jesus as Savior. It's a decision that only you can make. If you've been walking, if you've been running, if you've been moving away from the light of Jesus as Savior, stop. And right now, in the quietness of your heart, in the place where you are sitting, believe that Jesus went to that cross to be your Savior. Believe in Him as Savior so that you no longer walk in spiritual darkness. But now you walk in the light of all that Jesus is. Because Jesus is both life and light. Here's another thing we need to know. The light needed a witness. It's interesting how John breaks the flow of this passage by introducing the role of John the Baptist. Look at verses 6 through 8. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Not the John, the writer of the gospel, but John the Baptist. He came as a witness to bear witness about the light, that all men might believe through him. He was not the light, but came to bear witness about the light. You see, God's way of letting the light of Jesus shine in this spiritual darkness, in the darkness of this world, is through human witnesses. That means you. That means me. When Jesus was here, he gave a sermon, and that sermon is recorded for us in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 16. And in that sermon, Jesus said this, "In the same way, let your light shine before others, so they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." You see, he needs a witness. He needs a witness of the light, and he wants you to do that, and he wants me to do that. Do you remember our recent study in the book of Acts? Our whole focus through all of those chapters of the book of Acts was this, to be involved in God's mission, with God's message, because that's what being a witness of the light is all about. Jesus is both life and light, and he wants us to take Jesus, the life and light, to those around us. Are you doing your part? Are you doing your part? Are you taking that light, the light of Jesus, to those around you? Who you know or you might observe that need that light of Jesus. Here's another thing we need to know. The light is accessible to everyone. Look at verse 9. The true light, which gives light to a few. Is that what it says? That gives light to a select group of people. Nope. That gives light to a certain church, a certain group of people who do certain things. No, the true light, which gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. Now, it's interesting that back in Old Testament times, the Jewish rabbis used the word light as the name for the Messiah. So when John used the phrase true light, he was connecting Jesus to the promised Messiah has given in Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 2, where the prophet Isaiah says, "The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them the light has shone." Who was Isaiah talking to? He was talking about the people of his day, but he was also talking about the people yet to come, all the way to the people of our day. You see, the great light has come. The true light has come. Jesus, the light, has come. And so by believing in him as Savior, we can live and we can move and we can be in his light, in the light of who he is. Now, this concept behind walking in darkness is someone stumbling as they come and go. You know people doing that? You know people living their lives just stumbling through life? And you know people who are believers, who are walking in the light? Do you know this, that there's a difference? We need to be the witnesses of the light so that maybe God could use our light to be able to bring them to Jesus, the true light. And what does Isaiah say? While people are walking in the dark, suddenly a great light appears and shines deep in the darkness. You know why there's a Christmas? Because we can't find the light on our own. So the light came to us. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the light came to us. As Jesus lived his life, growing to be a man, the light came to be with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God, the light, come to us. He came to us. As he went to that cross, he came to go to that cross as the light for us. And when Jesus said on that cross, "It is finished," I got to believe Satan rejoiced because he thought for sure he snuffed out the light. But 3 days later, what happened? The stone rolled away. The light from day came into that tomb and revealed what? The light had already been brought out, right? The light walked out of that tomb, right? And he's been shining ever since. And if you're here this morning and you're a believer, he's shined into your heart. He's shined into your life. If you're here this morning and you're not a believer, let him shine. Believe in him today as Savior. If you know that there are people around you that aren't walking in the light, show them, shine for them the light of Jesus. Be that witness. You see, Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16 and Isaiah chapter 9 connect directly to Jesus. Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, it says, "The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." Now, isn't it interesting that in Isaiah 9, 2, the people walked in darkness. And in Matthew, we see them dwelling in darkness. And you know what? The same thing can happen to each one of us. You can start by walking in darkness and find a light and then end up walking in darkness again because you walk away from that light. The light hasn't walked away from you. You've walked away from the light. The light is still there. There was a pastor who many years ago said this, "Jesus is no simple spark in the darkness. He drives out the darkness. Jesus is not a candle in a cave. He is the sun burning away the gloom and shadows of all that is evil." This morning, have you moved from spiritual deadness to spiritual living and from spiritual darkness to the true light, to Jesus, who is the eternal light? Listen to the declaration of Jesus as it's written for us in John chapter 12 and verse 46. "I have come into the world as light, so that whoever believes in me may not remain in darkness." And then in verse 36 of John chapter 12, Jesus says this, "Believe in the light that you may become sons of the light." Jesus is the light. He's the eternal light in eternity past, in eternity present, and in eternity future. And when I consider that Jesus is the eternal light for eternity future, which the book of Revelation, by the way, makes it clear, I'm reminded of a well-known hymn. The name of the hymn is "The Light of the World is Jesus." You might have heard of it. It goes like this: "The whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Is that your experience? Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. No darkness have we who in Jesus abide. The light of the world is Jesus. We walk in the light when we follow our guide. The light of the world is Jesus. No need of the sunlight in heaven, we're told. The light of that world is Jesus. The Lamb is that light in the city of gold. The light of that world is Jesus. Come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. The light of the world is Jesus. Is he the light? Is he the light for you? Is he the light of your world? Because he's the light of this world. And if you don't know him as Savior, he's calling you to come to the light. And once you come to him and you believe in him as Savior, you are given a wonderful gift called eternal life. And that means that someday you are going to be in his presence forever and ever and ever. You are going to live where he lives. In fact, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And when it is finished, I'm going to come. And I'm going to receive you to myself, that where I am, there you will be also. And when we're in that presence, when we're with him for all the rest of eternity, we're not going to see a sun. We're not going to see a moon. Because he's the light. He's the light of that world. Is he the light of your world this morning? You see, Jesus died for the sin of the entire world, which means he died for your sin. Jesus was born to the entire world, but as the prophet Isaiah said, he was born unto you. Is Jesus your Savior? Only you can answer that question. Father, I'm so thankful that you've shown us from your word about the eternal light. And Father, I pray that if there's someone here this morning who's not walking in that light, they don't know that light, Father, that this morning they will come to believe in Jesus as Savior. Father, thank you for allowing us to be able to read your word, to be able to hear your word. Now, Father, as we walk out of this place in just a little while, help us to live your word. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Would you all stand for this final song?
I am not skilled to understand what God has willed, what God has planned. I only know at his right hand stands one who is my Savior. I take him at his word and deed. Christ died to save me, this I read. And in my heart I find a need of him to be my Savior. That he would leave his place on high and come for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I, before I knew my Savior. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God, he was, my God, he is, my God is always gonna be. Yes, living, dying, let me bring my strength, my solace from this spring. That he who lives to be my king
once died to be my Savior, that he would leave his place on high and come for sinful man to die. You count it strange, so once did I. Before I knew my Savior, my Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God he was, my God he is, my God is always gonna be. My Savior loves, my Savior lives, my Savior's always there for me. My God he was, my God he is, my God is always gonna be.